Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
So I want to talk to you this morning about what I've simply called the triumphal return of Christ. So, you know, one of the challenges, I said this in week one, in a couple of years ago, Pastor Marie had me come in to preach, and she said, would you preach on Matthew 24? Well, if you know Matthew 24, you could preach a month on Matthew 24. And she said, one Sunday, you can do it. And now this time she said, can you preach the entire book of Revelation, and you can do it in 4 weeks. I know you can do it. So it's a challenge, of course. So we simply picked the highlights of you know, things that maybe would help you get a greater understanding. So let me just say this to you. So before the flood of Noah, before Noah's flood began, the people on the earth, picture what was happening. Noah was building this incredible boat. There was no water around. The people thought he was crazy. And he built it. And when it was finished, the people around him, other than his family, had no idea what was coming. They had no idea that a great flood was coming. Noah had preached to them for like whatever it was, 100, 120 years. And they did not know what was happening until one day Noah went into the ark, God sealed him in, and the floods came, and all the people on the earth perished. And they were going about before that day. They were getting married and, you know, whatever their version of going to the gym was and going shopping and all of those things. And then suddenly, the door of the ark was closed and the floods came. And everything on the earth perished. And so they didn't know what was going to happen. And God has told you and I that He is soon going to initiate some great events on the earth that most people don't know what's coming. But let me say this, you and I know what's coming. And we know what's coming not because we're smarter, but because God has revealed the mystery of what's coming to us in His Word. And that's what we've been going through in the book of Revelation. And so let me remind you this morning that we need to know what's coming. The reason we're talking, but the reason God's given us the book of Revelation is that our God wants us to know what's coming, and He wants us to be prepared. He wants us not to be deceived. He wants us to be ready, not the day after the rapture happens. He wants us to be ready before it happens so that we will be part of the group that goes to be with Him and not be left behind. How many want to go on the day the rapture takes place? How many don't want to go? So let me just remind you, the coming back of Christ is going to take place in two stages. The first one is the rapture, where Christ comes down from heaven to the clouds of the sky. He doesn't come down to the earth. The people on earth don't see Him. There's a trumpet blast. There's a command given. And every born-again, Spirit-filled believer in the twinkling of an eye is going to leave this earth and go to meet the Lord in the clouds of the sky. We will be given our eternal bodies at that moment, and we will be with the Lord forever. Will that not be a great day? That'll be a day when everything changes. We said it before. How many are going to be happy not to have any mortgage payments? We could go on, but you get the idea. But then 7 years later, the rapture takes place. In a moment, I'm going to show you a chart that I showed you a few weeks back. The day after the rapture, basically, or soon after, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. The seven-year tribulation takes place. And at the end of the seven-year tribulation, the second coming, the second part of Christ's return takes place, but this time they see Him. We're going to see the verses in a moment. The world sees Christ coming. It's not secret now. They see Him coming on the clouds of the sky. At one point, He comes down and sets His feet on the ground, and you and I come back with Him. They are two separate events. At one event, the rapture, we go up to meet him in the clouds. At the second coming, he comes right down to the earth and we come back with him. And so it will be an incredible, incredible time. So let me quickly go over the chart. Lee, if you could put it up for me, the first slide. So this is where we are right now. All right, we are in what's called the church age. And the church age began on the day of Pentecost, where we get saved through faith in Christ. And all of the things that have been happening, this church and others. So we are at, most people believe, we are at the end of the end times. That the return of Christ is imminent. Nothing else has to happen. The last major event was Israel becoming a nation in 1948. Then in 1967, they got Jerusalem back. And there's no event that needs to happen before this next event. Go ahead. And the next event that's coming is the rapture of the church, where we leave the earth, we go up to meet Christ in the clouds of the sky. We'll be given our eternal bodies at that time, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Go ahead, next one. In heaven, there will be something called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment for sin. Sin has been dealt with. We're in heaven. We've made it. We're in heaven with the Lord. It's a judgment for what you and I are doing right now. Myself and every person here, we have been given gifts. We've been given abilities to use in the body of Christ. And on that day, we will give an account to him as to what you have done with the gifts and abilities he has given you to minister to the body of Christ. And that will take place. And then we are going to have, how many like to eat? Only five. We are going to have the greatest feast in the history of the world. This will be the mother of all feasts. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and we are going to be in heaven with Christ for that event. All right, put up the next one. On the earth, while we're in heaven, we've been raptured. We are going through the judgment seat of Christ, then the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. On the earth is this terrible time called the seven-year tribulation. The first 3.5 years, the judgments of God have already begun pouring out. We talked about it, the seals, the bowls, the trumpets. But then in the middle of the 3.5 years, it's called, you see it there, the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist, who at that point is a world leader and seemingly a man of peace, he goes into the Jewish temple. I showed you the verse. And he declares to the Jewish people in the world, I am God. And at that point, the Jewish people realize they have been totally deceived. All chaos begins. And in terms of the Antichrist, that's when his reign of terror begins. In the final 3.5 years, we read it last week, he's going to demand everybody take a mark on the right hand or forehead, the mark of the beast. And it's to commit your life to him. If you take the mark, you're doomed. There's no turning back. And then at the end of that terrible time, and I'm going to read some of it to you this morning, Christ comes back to the earth. At this time, all the world sees him. It's not hidden. It's completely out in the open, and all the world sees him. Go to the next one. A number of things happen. Then there's a 1,000-year millennium where Satan is bound for most of the 1,000 years. He's released at the very end. Go ahead, next one. And then at the end of the 1,000-year millennium is the great white throne judgment. You and I will not be participating in that. We're in heaven. We've made it. We're not judged for sin. But every person who ever lived from the beginning of time will stand before Christ. And he says books will be open, likely books recording what they did in their lives. And then a book of life will be opened. And anyone whose name is not written in God's book of life will be cast into the lake a fire. And go ahead, one more. And then we go into eternity with a new heaven and a new earth. So that just gives you a bit of a timeline, a time frame as to what is going to be taking place. But I just want you to know and understand that the coming of Christ is in two stages, one at the rapture before the tribulation, and then at the end of the tribulation, he comes back for a second coming for all the world to hear. All right, so for the last 3 weeks, we have read and we've studied what God has revealed to us in the book of Revelation. Just quickly, John was on the island of Patmos, exiled there for preaching the gospel. He thought his life was over. Suddenly Christ appeared to him. We didn't go in detail all of what Christ said and did to him. There was a number of things, but Jesus then told John to write 7 letters to 7 churches. You can read those in Revelation 2 and 3. And in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, John's on the island of Patmos, and he hears a voice that says, "Come up here." And John looks up and he sees heaven open, and instantly John is in the throne room of God. I told you many people see that as a picture of the rapture of the church on earth, suddenly in heaven before the tribulation begins. John sees incredible things in heaven in verses 4, chapters 4 and 5. Then John sees a scroll in the hand of one who is sitting on the throne. And certainly the one sitting on the throne is God the Father. No one is able to take the scroll and open it. John says he weeps. But then Jesus comes into the throne room, the Lamb of God. There's incredible worship that takes place. If you read through it, you can't help but get blessed when you understand the incredible worship that all of heaven gives him when Jesus walks into the throne room. Jesus walks over to the Father, takes the scroll, and Jesus begins to break the first scroll, reads what the first judgment is going to be on the earth, and the judgment is poured out on the earth. Then he opens it a bit further, breaks the second seal, and Jesus opens all of the seals. Following the seals, there are the 7 trumpets. When each trumpet is blown, another judgment is poured out on the earth. They are getting progressively worse. Then there are 7 bowls, and 7 angels have 7 bowls. They pour it out on the earth, and again, the judgments just get worse. And we said there's something called 7 thunders that we're not sure if they're judgments. We think they might be, but there's no real proof. So the final key is that the final 3.5 years of the tribulation gets much, much worse on the earth. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they will be in total control. For the last 3.5 years, they are dominating, they are deceiving people, they are lying to people, they are doing false miracles and signs, they are calling fire down from heaven in front of people. The Antichrist has a fatal wound and he's healed, kind of trying to copy and mimic what Jesus did when he rose from the dead. And at that point, there's going to be a one-world government that the Antichrist is head of. There will be a one-world money system based on 666, and there will be a one-world religion on the earth. So the Antichrist and a false prophet at this point totally dominate in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And of course, they then force every person on earth to take the mark of the beast on their right hand or forehead. And we said last week, I believe it was, that if you don't have the mark, there'll be no credit cards, no debit cards. The only way to access anything is if you have the mark. So people will either somehow, people get saved during the tribulation. Some will make it through, we're told, but many will be martyred. Revelation 20 says those who refuse to take the mark will have their heads chopped off. It'll probably be a very public thing to intimidate people. So all of that to say this, you do not want to be on the earth during those days. And that's why churches preach the gospel and we warn people, because now is the time, now is the time to get saved. Now is the time when you want to be sure that you are right with Christ. Listen, do you know, I'm going to give you a revelation here. Do you know that Jesus told us when he's coming back for the rapture? Are you ready? He said, "This is when I'm coming back, when you least expect it." That's what he said. When you least expect it. And you and I probably don't expect him tomorrow. We probably have things booked. People probably have vacations booked. All things of that sort. He's coming when we least expect it. And right now for you and I, we are going through life and living life and going to the gym and going to work and going shopping and going to movies and doing the things, going to the Blue Jays, going to the Raptors, go Habs, go Montreal, anyway, and all of those things. So we are doing all of those things, right? When we least expect it. Listen, I don't know when he's coming, but I just want you to know most of us don't expect him to come tomorrow or next week or whenever. So what are we saying? Be ready now. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived in waiting. Make sure you're ready now. Can you say amen? All right, so let me just give you now some things and we'll really kind of get cooking here. So the Bible tells us that many, many people are going to be saved during the tribulation. And many will be killed because they refuse to take the mark of the beast. Look what it says. John said, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded, that's what I quoted a minute ago, because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God, they had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we know people will be saved during the tribulation. They weren't taken at the rapture, but they got saved during the tribulation, but they will pay a heavy price. They will end up, many of them, giving their lives because they refused Christ earlier. So that's why we're saying now is the time. So let me just paint this picture before we get to the second coming of Christ. The social, listen, for those my age or younger, or we have seen the world change in incredible ways over the last 20 or 30 years. We never dreamed that people wouldn't know what a man or a woman was. We wouldn't have dreamed that our world morally would just be going down the tubes in such a terrible way. And so what we need to understand, though, as bad as it is now, the social and spiritual conditions on earth during the tribulation will be the worst in the history of the world. The Bible tells us there has never, ever been a time like what's coming, and there will never be a time as bad as it again. And how bad is it going to be? Put up the next one for me, please. Look what it says. People, how many remember? The dragon is Satan, and the first beast is the Antichrist. People worship the dragon, Satan. They'll be worshiping Satan because he has given authority to the beast, the Antichrist. And they also worship the beast, the Antichrist, and ask, who is like the beast, the Antichrist? Who can wage war against it? Listen, the people on the earth at this point, other than those who got saved, are going to be totally deceived. They will not have any understanding of right and wrong. The spiritual and social conditions on the earth will be the worst that it has ever been because people on the earth will have been deceived and totally lied to, and they will believe the false signs of false miracles, and all of that is coming. Listen, they will have been totally consumed by evil and totally overwhelmed by the devil, by Satan, and all of his plans. But while all of that's going on the earth, remember you saw that we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. While all of that is going on the earth, the people on the earth don't know it. But God is about to reveal, to unveil to John what is about to take place. And so at the height of all the sin and rebellion against God on the earth, suddenly in heaven, John sees Jesus sitting on a white horse, the end of the tribulation. He's prepared and he's ready to return to the earth for his second coming. Listen, Jesus is coming back to earth again, not to suffer. He's not coming back to die on the cross again. He's coming back on the earth to destroy evil. He's coming back to destroy Satan. He's coming back to be the conquering king and establish his kingdom. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all the world is going to see it. There will be no doubt whatsoever at that point. And you and I will be with him. I'm going to show you in a moment. So let me tell you now, There is only one who is worthy to be worshipped. Satan and the Antichrist have done everything they could to be worshipped. And for a brief period of time on the earth, they will receive what they're looking for. But it's going to be short-lived, because little do they know it. But in heaven, God is showing John Jesus on a white horse with all of the armies of heaven behind him. And he's about ready to come back to earth and put things in order and make righteous things righteous and make evil things evil. And there will be no doubt in those days when he returns that good is good and evil is evil, and there's nothing in between. Because our God deals in righteousness. Our God deals in holiness. Our God deals in truth. And he is the Prince of Peace. And he's coming back one day soon. And you and I will be with him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let me show you now. Put it up if you would, please. This is in Revelation chapter 19. This is what John sees in heaven. While all of the junk and sin on earth is going on, this is what God shows John in heaven. John says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. Talking about Jesus. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me tell you that every one of these events are real. Every one of these events are going to take place. They are not symbolic. They are not just God. These are real events. Everything God predicted in the Bible, going back to the time of Abraham and Isaiah and Daniel, every one of them has been fulfilled. We have confidence that when God tells us what's coming, it's going to come, because he's proved it from the beginning of time up until now. And so what he tells us from now forward, we know that what he says is going to happen, because he's already proved that what he says is going to happen. So I want now to quickly go over the description that we see there on the screen of what John sees in Jesus. I'm going to do it fairly quickly, but listen to what it says. John says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. John sees Christ on a white horse, and John declares that Jesus is called Faithful and True. And John says Jesus is coming to judge and wage war against evil with justice. That means he's going to wage war against evil with honesty and fairness and righteousness. And I said a moment ago, you know, Isaiah says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Well, Jesus is coming back to make that right. He's coming back to call good good and evil evil. There won't be any misunderstanding at that point. Jesus says also, John says that Jesus' eyes were like blazing fire. Now picture this just for a moment. This means that his eyes see everything, even now, but especially then. His eyes see everything. Nothing is hidden from his view. And the fire signifies purity and holiness and judgment. So Jesus sees everything that people do, and he's coming back to judge with holy fire for purity, for judgment. For those who are evil and worshiping Satan, there is going to be a day of reckoning. It says he has a name written on him that no one knows except himself. Listen, I believe what that means, and some of these are challenging to understand. I think what that means, the name on him that no one knows, you and I can't ever fully know God. Maybe when we get to heaven one day, we'll have a much, much greater understanding. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, right now we look through a glass dimly. We see things, but not clearly. And the name simply means that we know what God has revealed about himself, but there is still a whole universe full of knowledge about God that we're not aware of. So we are thankful for God revealing himself to us in the way that he has, but we do not know everything about God. And Jesus has his name on him that no one knows but himself. Why? Because he's indescribable. Why? Because he's unexplainable. He is so mighty. He is so large. He is so majestic. He is so powerful. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give him a good one. Give him a good one. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that on his head are many crowns. The many crowns declare, diadems, another word for the crowns, declare that his absolute sovereignty, his supreme authority, and complete victory as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all earthly and spiritual powers and over all creation, he is the King. This one's a little bit different. His robe is dipped in blood. And many people believe, I did a lot of research on this, a lot of people believe the blood is not from Calvary. It's not the blood that he shed when he died on the cross. But instead, it's a prophetic symbol of what he's coming back to do to his enemies. That there's going to be a shedding of blood for those who opposed him. Let me show you a verse. Many people believe that this verse from Isaiah is talking about this. Put it up. There it is. Listen to what it says. Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, the Lord says, proclaiming victory, mighty to save. Why are your garments red like those of one treading the winepress? Here it is. I've trodden the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger, and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all my clothing. Many people believe that this robe dipped in blood in this chapter in Revelation is a fulfillment of what it said in Isaiah 63, that this is a prophetic symbol that his enemies are going to face the wrath of God. Number two, his name is the Word of God. This picture declares Jesus has three things. Number one, Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said that to his followers. Secondly, he is coming back to be the active agent in judgment. The Bible said the Father has given all judgment over to the Son, and Jesus is coming to fulfill the Word of God. And then thirdly, he will fulfill all Scripture. As now he's coming back to defeat sin, to defeat evil, to defeat Satan and all the people who fought against God. If you understand Daniel 77s, we don't have time to go into it. Daniel said the Messiah would come and put an end to sin, and Jesus coming back will ultimately put an end to all sin. When we go into eternity, there will be no sin, there will be no evil, there will be no devil, there will be no sin nature, there will be no corruption. We will live as pure, holy, and righteous people of God. Now going to be a wonderful time to live together. Hallelujah. So then it says the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. So who is this army? Well, there's two verses. Let me show you the first one, 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And it says this, and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with who? His powerful angels. So we're told that part of the army of God will be his powerful angels. So before I give you the next one, I have to ask you a question. How many here can ride a horse? I'm kidding, but listen to what he says in Revelation 17:14. They will wage war, the armies of the earth, Satan. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. That's you and I. So when the armies of heaven, when Christ is on this white horse, and John described what he saw, the crowns on his head, the eyes of fire, all of that. The armies of heaven followed him. You and I are coming back with Christ along with all of his mighty angels. And the sharp sword coming out of his mouth shows the supreme power of the spoken word of Christ, his truth, his judgment, his divine authority, rather than a physical weapon with which he will destroy and conquer all his enemies. He will use his word. And on his robe and on his thighs is written, King of kings and Lord of lords, and this is who he is. Listen, you and I right now are struggling through all the challenges of this earth. And if you and I took the time, there'd be lots of testimonies of people battling all different things. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. And listen, I don't know and you don't know when. It could be 5 years away. It could be 10 years away. It could be tomorrow. We just know it's coming any day. But when that day happens, every single struggle will end. Every single sickness will end. Every single difficulty you're going through will end. Because on that day, there will be no more sorrow and no more pain or sickness or death or dying or mortgage payments or any of those things. We will be free and with the Lord, and we will rejoice and worship his name, because we will know who the real King and the real Lord, and we will be in his presence forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. What a great King and what a great God. So let me tell you now how Jesus told his disciples. So we just read what John saw in the book of Revelation, what John saw, what God showed him, what God revealed to him. But when Jesus was on the earth and he was asked those questions, we get more of an understanding as to what the second coming of Christ is going to be like. So right now we see he's going to be on a white horse. And we see the image that John, the physical description that John showed. We know that the armies of heaven are coming back with Christ. But now Jesus tells us more in Matthew 24. Listen to what Jesus told disciples about his second coming. So Jesus said in Matthew 24, 26 to 27, "So if anyone tells you there he is," meaning Christ, "out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or if they say here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Here it is. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." He talks about lightning in the sky. The way you see it, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. A few verses later, verse 30. "Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples on the earth, listen, the ones who are serving and worshiping Satan, the ones who are serving and worshiping the Antichrist, the ones who have taken the mark on their right hand and their forehead, all the people on the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And then John in Revelation 1 and 7 says, "Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." And the final one in Philippians 2, 9 to 11, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So God tells us on the second coming of Christ, God tells us in his word that in the same way that you see lightning in the sky, so will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming on the clouds of the sky, and every eye will see him, and they will mourn. Why will they mourn, the people on the earth? They will realize they have been deceived and they fell for it. They will realize they have worshiped the wrong person. They see on the clouds of the sky coming now the real King, the real God, the real Messiah, the real Lord. All the rest has been phony. All the rest has been a deception. And they're going to see now the true and honest and genuine King. And God says that at that moment, when the people on earth see Jesus coming with power and great glory, that at the name of Jesus, every knee on earth is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Understand, at that moment, there will be no more Muhammad. There will be no more Buddha. There will be no more Hindu gods. There's going to be one God, one King, one Lord, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The King of kings and the Lord of lords is coming back. And so when Christ arrives on the earth, he comes down. Let me read three or four verses, Revelation 19, 19 to 21. And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth. This is a foolish move. And their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast, the Antichrist, was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of burning sulfur, the lake of fire burning with sulfur, that's hell. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. You can't even understand foolishly when Christ comes back in the sky, in the clouds, with all of his army, billions and billions and billions. The armies of the earth go out to make war against him. They're quickly and immediately defeated. And Jesus casts the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. The rest are all killed by the sword. Listen to what Zechariah, the prophet, in the Old Testament predicted about that day of the Lord. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it towards the south. So notice when Jesus comes back and he defeats the nations on earth and he defeats the Antichrist and the false prophet, his feet are going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. How many have been to Israel? Some. So you understand, the old city of Jerusalem is here. The Dome of the Rock, the Muslim temple is right in the middle, built on the mount of where the original temple where Christ served was there. Across the way, across the Kidron Valley is the Mount of Olives. Jesus is going to set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. Now, this is how I picture it. So this is kind of my mind working. When his feet set forth on the Mount of Olives, by the way, 30, 50 years ago, the Holiday Inn was going to build a Holiday Inn on the top of the Mount of Olives. They did a geological survey and they found a fault that one day the Mount of Olives could split in two. So they built their Holiday Inn somewhere else. They could have just read the Bible. They could have saved a lot of money. The Mount of Olives is going to split in two one day. When the Mount of Olives splits in two, to me, it's like opening a path. And Jesus walks across the Kidron Valley and he walks in through the Eastern Gate, if you know the importance of that. And he goes into the temple and he sets up his crown. Listen, it's going to be an incredible day. Zechariah 14:9, a little bit further says, "And the Lord shall be king over the earth in that day it shall be. The Lord is one and his name is one." Listen, another version, NIV, makes that verse clearer. The Lord will be king over the entire earth, and on that day there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. Let me finish up. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations, the people that were still alive on the earth, there won't be many of them, they'll be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates and divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, on the goats on the left. I'm not going to go further into that. Folks, let me just say, God has warned us and told us what's coming. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. The next event that you and I are waiting for is the rapture of the church. When the rapture takes place, we're in heaven with the Lord. Then 7 years of absolute turmoil and pain and deception and lies on the earth with the Antichrist, Satan, and the false prophet. At the end of that time, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back on his white horse, he is coming back, and you and I and all of his mighty angels will be with him. He is coming back to set up his kingdom. He is coming back to rule with a rod of iron. He is coming back to set up the kingdom of God. And he will live on the earth and be on the earth. And at that point on, righteousness will prevail on the earth. And there will be a wonderful, wonderful time. And I want you to know now, the main message that Jesus has given his people is right now is be ready. Because in the final days, right now where we're living, perilous times are coming. And he warns us, don't miss. Right now, listen, right now he says to us, if you come to me and ask for forgiveness, I am righteous and just, and I will forgive you whatever it is you ask, whatever it is you've done. Today is the day of salvation. And I'm coming back soon. And when I come back, I'm not coming back as a suffering servant. I'm coming back as a conquering king. And so you and I need to know, we need to be ready. Coming into a church building doesn't take away your sins. Only Jesus takes away our sin.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.